The Old Testament lesson for the reading of the Nativity of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 7. Again the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. And whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the first chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke from the dream, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you on this glorious night as we celebrate our Lord's birth. A young family had just bought a house and it got to be moving day. Now they've been planning for this for many weeks, but as it would happen, the husband was called into work to a meeting that he could not possibly miss. And you all know the chaos of moving day, especially when you have movers involved and you got to direct them where everything is going in the house. So the wife, surrounded by three screaming children, is directing where all the boxes are going, keeping the kids from getting trampled underfoot, and dealing with all of it until her five-year-old picked up a toy truck and threw it through the picture window. With that, finally, the wife had gotten to the breaking point, and she wanted to call her husband and tell him to come home right away, but she knew he had a habit of not returning calls right away. But she thought, okay, I'll try. So she calls the office and gets his secretary on the phone. No, he's in a meeting. He can't possibly leave. He won't be done for about 2 hours. But she's at her wit's end. She says, "Send him this message. Tell him the insurance will cover it. Call when he gets this message." Needless to say, he called within 10 minutes. God wanted to get our attention that very first Christmas evening, and he sent the angels to do it. He sent a host of the angelic hosts. I love how that's put. In other words, so many of them, we couldn't possibly count how many there were. But we've all heard the Christmas story how many times over the years, and sometimes, like the husband, we just don't listen when we get the message that Christ is born. Well, tonight I'm going to ask you to pretend like you've never heard it before. Pretend you're part of the poor people in occupied Israel with the Romans in charge. Put yourself in Joseph's place. Engaged, looking forward to the wedding. And then, we don't know exactly how it came about, but somewhere along the line, Joseph found out she was pregnant. And I have an idea. It started with the words, "No man ever wants to hear, honey, we got to talk." Has that ever turned out well? I'm sure that's what it was. She says, "Joseph, dear, we got to talk." And he knew he was not the father. At this time, engagement was for a year. And the reason that was to see if the woman was chaste and pure. She was not pregnant within a year, she passed the test. If she was got pregnant within that year, she was seen as immoral and ridiculed and put to shame. Now, the Old Testament prescription was that she'd be stoned. Most likely what they did throughout not only the Old Testament, but up through Jesus' time is they ended the relationship and just put her to shame. Now, pretend you're listening to this for the very first time. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Conceived by the Holy Spirit. That had to take Joseph back a bit, hearing those words, that this child was not done because of human cause, but because of what the Lord had done. Matthew 1, verse 21 says, "She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So Joseph's nightmare, well, first of all, started out as a dream, the dream of getting married, turned into a nightmare when he found out Mary was pregnant, turns back into a dream when he finds out that the Messiah is to be born. This is something they have been waiting for hundreds of years. Isaiah had written about this 700 years before. When Jerusalem was under siege by the Babylonians, the prophecy was given that a virgin will conceive and bear a son, and his name will be called Emmanuel, for God is with us. They were under siege by the Babylonians. They thought that Israel thought their enemy was the Babylonians, not realizing that the far greater enemy was sin. By Jesus' time, they're occupied by the Romans. Now they think the Romans are their greatest enemy. Once again, not realizing their greatest enemy is sin. And whether it was when Isaiah wrote it, or when Jesus was born, and Jesus died on the cross, the enemy is always the same. It's sin, and only God can deliver us from sin. The message is the same to all who want to hear it. I found this story that I want to read to you. It's pretty brief. It's only 97 pages in length. See, I throw that stuff in just to see if you all are listening every now and again. Jared Wilson, in his book, Gospel Wakefulness, asks you to imagine you are driving down the road and your car stalls at a railroad crossing. You are understandably nervous as you try to reignite the car's engine, but you become even more so when you see a train turn the corner in the distance and begin quickly closing the gap between it and you. The train's engine horn is blaring, and the engineer is throwing on the brakes, but you are too close, and he's coming too fast. You move from trying to get the car to start to trying to unfasten your seatbelt, but fear has made your hands stiffen and shake. You cannot get your seatbelt unfastened. The train is rushing towards you, and you know that you are going to be hit. And you are. Suddenly, and from behind, a man in a truck behind you has decided to ram into your car and push you off the tracks, even as he is destroyed by the impact in the very same spot you once occupied. You get out of the car, shaken and still frightened. You are terrified by the gruesome scene, in shock over your rescuer's sacrifice. You are grateful in a way that you have never been grateful before. Even in your terrified awe, it feels good to be alive. You feel woozy, so you sit down in the trunk of your car. As you're trying to retrieve your cell phone from your pocket to call 911, and marvel on how little damage the violent shove did to the rear bumper, you hear a whimper from inside the trunk. Little did you know that before your house, as your kids were playing hide and seek, your youngest son decided to hide in the trunk of your car. As you opened it frantic, in a hurry, and discover that he's miraculously unharmed, you suddenly realize the total greatness of the loss you almost suffered. That's exactly what Christ did for us. Sin was going to cause our immediate and permanent death. He took our place. The good news is he rose again on Easter morning. He took the hit for us so that we would live. Like I said, the good news is he rose again. All that's required of us human beings, quote, required of us, is to believe. To stop depending on ourselves that I'm good enough as I am to be saved. Christ is Lord and King, and that's what we celebrate tonight. The message to Mary was, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who had been called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary, poor peasant girl from a backwater town of Nazareth where nothing ever good comes from. Like, what good ever came out of Detroit? Okay, Motown. What good ever came out of Gary? I don't know. I hope there's nobody from Gary here. Bill? Oh, I forgot about that. All right, let's pick some other town somewhere, okay? Oshkosh, Washington. How's that? Boy, shoe leather tastes good on a cold evening. All right. I mean, Nazareth had such a poor reputation that if you move this story ahead 30-some-odd years when Jesus is calling his disciples, he calls Nathanael to be one of his disciples, and when Nathanael finds out Jesus is from Nazareth, he says, "What good has ever come from Nazareth?" In other words, it was just a backwater town of no real value. But that's where Mary was from. She came to an unlikely person, an unlikely place, with an unlikely message. And it's said that the Emperor Napoleon, when he had gotten to the height of his conquering, at the height of his empire, looked back and realized how empty it all was. And supposedly he said this quote, "Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself founded empires. But on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him." Now, for most of us here, we can remember the end of the Cold War. The kids are thinking, isn't that when spring comes? No. But it was March 28, 1991. There's going to be demonstrations in Moscow. And remember one thing about the old Soviet Union? You didn't really want to make the authorities angry. You know, over here, what do? Nothing. You know, you have a big demonstration, what do? A big, fat nothing. All right? The Soviets were a whole different story. We could go through their history. But demonstrations had been banned, especially this one, because they expected it to be big. And there were dire warnings. If you gather, there will be violence. 2 months before, the Lithuanians had tried the same thing, and 14 of them were killed. Well, this day in Moscow, 100,000 demonstrators showed up and were met with 50,000 armed troops. And the BBC reported, it was a display of strength that showed considerable weakness. A display of strength that showed considerable weakness. 5 months later, the Soviet Union fell. Just the following day after that demonstrations was Good Friday. The way of looking at Good Friday is considerable weakness was shown with great strength. One act alone, Satan was made powerless. And that began on Christmas Eve when he was born. Satan realized his empire was crumbling and crumbling quickly, and there was nothing he could do about it. Jesus would be the greatest king who has ever reigned and is reigning to this day. And he rules without force. He rules with sacrifice, not by rules. You want order in life? You want a sense of what life is all about? Then choose what the world calls submission and disorder. See, Christ the King, he brings order to life. He brings meaning to life. The message of the angels is the same, whether 2,000 years ago or now, or if the church is still in existence in 2,000 years in the future, the message will be the same. Jesus is the Savior, he is the King, and he is supreme. So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.